When the Mississippi Department of Education tried to recruit a for-profit to manage schools in rural Tate County last year, parents petitioned against it. For-profit education management companies, known as for-profits for short, typically ask for 10 to 15% of the school's revenue. Patricia Johnson, whose son attends high school in Tate, says schools are already struggling to afford basic needs. So allowing for-profit management companies to take a further cut off the top seems counterproductive.
That don't make sense because there's no way that parents have to buy stuff like classroom needs for the teachers, copy paper and all that. That's crazy.
For-profits say fees aren't at odds with providing a quality education. Michael Serby is with Edison Learning, one of the largest for-profit providers in the country.
Your bottom line is the quality of the education you provide and, frankly, the outcome and the performance of the students.
Nationally, the portion of charter schools managed by for-profits has declined by 25% in 3 years. In cities such as New Orleans, some for-profit providers were fired or left in disgrace. In cities where for-profits are drying up, nonprofits are gaining ground. In Tate County, Mississippi, bids ended up coming in 2 and 3 times higher than the Mississippi Department of Education wanted to pay. All were declined, and the schools remain publicly run. But the concerns of some have only deepened as the for-profit debate has grown statewide. In this year's legislature, 2 charter school bills are circulating. One would allow for-profits. The other would ban them. Nancy Loom with the Parents Campaign lobbies to keep for-profits out. She says the concept itself is flawed.
If they're trying to make a profit and pay shareholders, they're not going to be investing very much in educating children.
Loom and other opponents are watching for-profits and their potential influence closely. The companies are investing heavily. Reports filed with the Mississippi Secretary of State say the for-profit education providers K-12 Incorporated, Connections Education, and E-2020 spent more than $250,000 on Mississippi lobbyists in 2011 and 2012, with more spending expected this year. That doesn't include money from numerous advocacy groups, such as the Black Alliance for Educational Options and the Florida Foundation for Excellence in Education. In some cases, these groups, such as the Florida Foundation, are funded directly from the profiting companies. Still, some stakeholders are hesitant to ban for-profits before Mississippians get to see how they perform. Dave Ellis is a parent of a middle school student in the high-performing Clinton School District. He says public offices often successfully subcontract to private entities. For-profits build roads, repair sewer systems, or manage parking.
So what we have to do is have a carefully crafted regulatory process that makes sure that the public's money that we are using to go do those things is invested wisely and spent wisely.
Lobbyists and lawmakers advocating for for-profits say the approach could save money. Republican Chairman of the House Education Committee, John Moore.
We have a system in place now within our prison system where for-profit institutions actually have to agree to do it for 10% less than the government's doing it.
But even Moore sees for-profits as a point of compromise. Falling in stride with many state lawmakers around the country, Moore also voted to bar for-profits last month. The Mississippi legislature is expected to make its final decision on for-profits later this session. From the Southern Education Desk, I'm Annie Gilbertson.